And we're going to have a level test now with Mr. Germain Tessier. And Germain, just to get a level on your voice. Now, an interesting gentleman is our guest now on Memories and Music. And what is your name, sir?
Germain Tessier.
Well, that's a fine old French name, I would say, eh? When did you retire from INCO, Mr. Tessier?
I retired on the 28th of August, 1974.
And how many years with the company?
I would have had 37 years service if I hadn't broken my service. When I last 10 years went with INCO, really I had 27 years complete.
Well, that's happens to lots of us, eh? We've talked to lots of people who have done that. The way it works out, but whatever you've done, it seems to work out pretty well. You look like a pretty healthy individual.
Oh, I'm in good health, that's for sure. I never had to have the use of a doctor.
Very good. Well, now, folks, I know you're going to enjoy talking with Mr. Tessier. And, Germain, let's start way back at the beginning. Where are you from? Where were you born?
I was born in St. Charles, Ontario. That's about 35 miles from here. In 1912, the 1st of March.
Now, seems to me that it was a French community, right?
Yes, it was absolutely. There were no English families. I was brought up in speaking French. And in fact, I started to speak English. I was 21 years old.
Well, I'm going to ask you a little bit later about how you learned that English, because it strikes me as the way to do it. But how about your father now? Where was he from, and what did he do out there?
My father was originally from Ottawa. He came to St. Charles about the 1908 or 1910. And he was a farmer for all the rest of his life. We were brought on a farm.
They tell me that's the country boys. That's as good a place as any. And he retired at quite an old age.
He retired about at the age of 70. Yeah. And he passed away. He was 72 years old.
And your mother, too, lived to quite a ripe old age, correct?
My mother lived until she was 84.
Well, there's something to be said for this farm life then, I guess, Mr. Tessier.
Oh, yes, definitely. That was really interesting. I really enjoyed living on the farm. I lived on the farm, though, until I was 14 years old. But in the early days, I really enjoyed that. My life was, well, simply wonderful. I had a horse of my own for some time. I always had a dog. But my pleasure on the farm was to go out of the bush. There was one particular spot that I used to love to go to. That was a spot that I could bring you back over there if you want to. It's still there. But I used to sit there for hours and watch animals coming to drink, deer, beavers, squirrels, all kinds of animals coming over. And I used to really enjoy watching them.
Colly, you sound like a naturalist.
Well,
Thompson Seton or something.
I've always liked animals. I've always had a dog until a few years back. And now, well, it's quite impossible to keep them in a town.
It's difficult in a town. Too many cars and one thing and another.
That's for sure. My dog was killed by a car. The last one I had, and I said I wouldn't have another one.
Right. Still, this getting back to nature, you make it sound very, very wonderful and very true.
It is. It's simply wonderful. And if I had to tell anyone something about enjoying life, it's to go out in the bush and watch the animals at their work. They can tell you a lot of stories. They can, oh my God, they have so many things to tell in their own way. It's beautiful to watch them.
Charlie, the way you're telling us, your eyes are lighting up. I think maybe you should write a book on it. This is something you really believe, Mr. Tessier.
I wish I could, because I would have a lot of stories to tell about animals that I have seen in the bush. God, I've all except, I guess, a lynx. I've seen almost every animal that are to be seen in the bush.
In this part of the
country? Oh, yes. In this part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
And there's a lot to be said for just looking and watching. You don't have to shoot them to enjoy them, eh?
Definitely. You don't have to shoot them to enjoy them. Oh, I don't say I never shot some. I used to get the odd rabbit and partridge to bring home to eat, but I've left a lot of them out in the bush just enjoying themselves.
Right. But now, while you were a young fellow, as you say, up to about the age of 14, and just loved to go out and sit in the bush and watch the animals, you were working pretty hard on the farm too, though, eh?
Oh, yes. In the summertime, we had some chores to do, make the hay and cut the grain, and I even had to work on the road sometime with a team of horses. Oh, yes, my father and another man by the name of Mr. Arthur Rishi built the road between Hager and St. Charles. My father was a foreman there, and that's how the road in St. Charles opened up. There was only one way to go to Sudbury, and that was by passing through Warren.
Uh-huh. I guess you drive over there once in a while and remember back.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Right. Now, did you not have a horse, your own riding horse, when you were a youngster?
Yes, I had a riding horse that was Nelly, a little black horse that I used to love very much. But I didn't keep her very long. It was making more work for my family, and then we had to get rid of her. But I really enjoyed her when I had her around.
We're getting back to the tough times. We're talking the Depression, are we? Early Depression of these about now, are we?
That was about the 19... Yes, about that time.
About 29 or 30, right?
Yeah,
in there, eh?
That's right.
Did you not have a team of horses, George and Maud, that you were
yes,
fond of?
Yes, I had George and Maud that I used. That's the one, the horses I used to work on Hager Road with. I was working with them for about a month. I think it was all the month of July, doing some work for my dad on the Hager Road. And then these were the horses I used to haul hay with. They were simply wonderful. Oh, beautiful horses, good and fat, and they were really strong and really gentle.
Right. Oh, it's nice to talk to somebody, to a man who loves horses, loves animals. Giving us a little background, incidentally, friends, we're talking with Mr. Germain Tessier, who retired back in August 28th, 1974, who grew up in St. Charles. Now, St. Charles, you can get there in about a half an hour today, I suppose.
That's for sure.
In your boyhood, it was pretty remote, right?
The first time I was in Sudbury was in 1924. Somebody drove me to Sudbury just about the time I was going to enter college. I was 14 years old then.
Incidentally, you were the youngest of a pretty large family, is that right?
I was the youngest boy.
The youngest
there
boy,
there were three girls after me. We were 11 in the family.
Ah, yes, indeed. Now, this time you visited Sudbury for the first time at 14 years of age or something, was it, you said?
Right.
Did you see a car for the first time?
I was 9 years old when I saw my first train. My father took me to Warren to pick up one of those four cycle engines. And that was the first time I ever saw a train. I was amazed.
You know, it's great, folks, to be able to sit here and chat with somebody who saw their first train at 9 years of age and still remembers it. And what about a car? Did you see a car about
my
the
car,
same time,
eh? I saw my first car about 1924. I was about 9, 10, it was about the same time as I saw the train. They arose and the people were getting, more
you, times were changing.
Yes, times were changing, and there were more of these vehicles, and you know, than in earlier years.
Well, now, you learned all your first schooling, your public school, as it were, was entirely in French. Is that right?
Completely. Yeah, I was. And I was attending the old, all people will remember that, old Sacred Heart College.
But I was, wait a minute, I'm talking about in St. Charles.
Oh, in St. Charles.
Yeah.
That was completely in French.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Until I was 14 years old.
You spoke no English then?
No English at all, except a few words here and there. We learned a lot of words, but it was to put them together. We had nobody to practice with.
We've talked about that on this show before. You know, you can take somebody and you can teach them words and so on, but if they don't use them, they forget them.
That's for sure. You have
Absolutely.
To use words to be. You have to use a language. You have to be able to use a language with somebody to learn it.
If you want to retain, if you go.
That's for sure.
Well, then, you then came to Sudbury to go to a college school here at Sacred Heart, right?
Right.
And you, what did you take here? What did you study?
Oh, I was taking general classics. We were affiliated with the University of Quebec, and we had only about 1 hour, maybe 2 hours of English a week. This is why I had so much difficulty when I entered the college in Guelph.
Yes, well, we're coming to that now, but before we get to that, when you're studying the classics in French, presumably you study Greek and Latin works.
Greek
and
Latin.
But what English would you study? I mean, would you read Dickens or Shakespeare in French or something like that?
No, that was just primary English. Sentences that you translate in French, and sometimes they'd make you translate French to English.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, in your classical education, you would take great writers of the world of all. Would you study Shakespeare?
Not
at college.
No, I took that when I was in normal school.
At normal school, later
yes,
you took
later
some
on,
of that.
Yes,
eh?
Later on I took that on my own.
Oh, I just wondered how.
No.
So your classical education would then be essentially Latin and Greek, then, would it?
Latin and Greek and French.
Ah, yes. And as you say, in your hour a week or whatever it was you took in English, you'd learn
just
Dick
the
and
basics.
Jane, eh?
Just the basics.
Sort of me, Tarzan, you, Jane, or something, as we say. But having finished this classical education in here in Sudbury, you decided to Guelph. Was that your next trip, eh?
Yes. Guelph was my next stop.
Next stop, eh?
This is where I learned to express myself in English.
I bet you would. Tell us about those. It must be fantastic to just take somebody and drop them bang in an English-speaking community and make you sink or swim. Now
it is another world. It is completely another world. I could understand very well the language that was spoken, but it was to express myself.
Yeah.
I had a lot of words. I knew a lot of words, but it was to put them together and express myself, you know, and make a decent sentence with them. And then, besides, there was the pronunciation. Oh, I
That's
had
right.
quite a bit of trouble with the pronunciation, but it comes to you quite naturally after.
Well, you had enough of it that it stuck with you, as well.
Oh, definitely,
I guess, eh?
Definitely.
Yeah, but like a lot of us, the Guelph. It got a little expensive, correct? Couldn't hack it, eh?
At Guelph, it used to cost, well, it cost my father $800 for 1 year, and that was a fortune. That was a fortune for a farmer in those days.
Of course it
there
was.
There was no money to be had anywhere. I couldn't borrow anywhere. So mm-hmm. I went there for 1 year, and that was all. I liked it. I liked Guelph very, very much. Then from there, well, I had to do something else. So I joined the University of Ottawa in the and at the I went to normal school.
Normal teachers' college.
Yeah,
eh?
Teachers' college in Ottawa.
Well, then, did you teach?
Yes, I was teaching back in St. Charles for 1 year.
Tell us about that teaching job. What was
teaching
like?
Job? Well, it was in the old school, where you make a fire in the morning and it goes out on you during the day if you. If you're really taken up by your lectures. And but it was really enjoyable. I really liked it. One of the children to whom I have been teaching became a teacher herself. Oh, yes. I told her before we started that I'd make a teacher out of her. And I did. And this girl is still teaching.
Well, that's wonderful.
That was from 1930-35.
She's
still teaching.
She's teaching
in North Bay, in Sturgeon Falls right now.
In
I think she's
Falls.
The principal of one of the schools in Sturgeon Falls.
Well, that's great. And you didn't have too much problem with discipline, eh?
Discipline, days? No, not really. No, not when you are good with children. You know,
yeah.
You don't educate children by with your foot or a slap. You educate them by talking to them. They understand. Children understand just as good as anyone else, providing that you say it the right way at the right time.
Well, sounds like good advice. And I would go along with that. But it seems to me that you didn't remain at teaching for beyond the 1 year, partially because the salary wasn't quite what you would like.
I was getting $80 a month as a teacher. I was offered a job at INCO, and this used to pay. Well, I used to make in 1 week what I was making in a month teaching, so I stayed with INCO.
We can't blame you too much for that. Now, who was the who hired you on here at INCO?
Oh, that was Mr. Frank Parker. Mr. Frank Parker. Oh, I was talking with him one day, and he used to like the way I used to pronounce my English.
Right.
He used to have a great kick out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask for a job. I was just talking with Mr. Parker, and he asked me suddenly, "Would you like to have a job?" I said, "Well, I guess so." So he said, "You be in on Monday morning, and I'll give you a job." So that's how I got in for INCO the first time. I worked that summer, but that was before I ever was teaching. That was the first summer after I came back from Ottawa. Then I worked that summer. I went teaching, and the second time I asked for a job. And Mr. Parker gave me another job for the summer, but then I stayed for INCO all that time.
Right. Now, as we were getting ready for the show, I made a little note here that you commented that you'd been treated pretty well by INCO, that you've been treated like a gentleman. Now,
definitely.
Is that true, sir?
I have no regrets. In fact, I have been very happy, very, very happy working for INCO. I have no complaints about the treatment. In fact, I think that INCO should have fired me a couple of times. But definitely, I was treated like a gentleman all along that I was working with them.
Well, that's nice to have you say that, sir, and that was your own idea. You brought it up. And now, so now we have you working for INCO, and said you had two brothers, INCO, at this time, too, eh?
Yes, there were four of us at one time working for INCO. The four of us working, every one of us in Coniston at one time. Then there was a move to Carpercliff. I was sent to Carpercliff, and my brother was also, one of the brothers was also sent to Carpercliff.
Go ahead.
My two brothers have passed away now. There's still one living in Coniston.
Well, now, you, having moved into Sudbury, I take it, or Coppercliff or something, something interesting happened around 1938. Is that correct, sir?
1938?
Yeah. Now, don't ask me to remind you of this, sir. You're in...
Yes, definitely. I got married.
Oh, no. I
got married. I married a local girl.
Uh-huh.
I married Lucille Jean from Connison. A lot of people will remember that the family, they used to own a store in Connison. And that was my first adventure.
Well, now, I liked the story you told me as we were getting ready about where you met the girl and what determined you that you were going she was going to be your wife.
I met her in a dance, and I did not like the fellow she was with. Yeah. So I said to myself, I'm going to take her away on her, on him. So I kept her, too.
So now the truth is out after all these years, back to 38. And Mrs. Tessier, I'm glad that you heard this right from the from the source here. Now, what family have you, Mr. Tessier?
I have five children, mm-hmm. one boy working at North Mine, and two sons-in-law working for Inco.
I'd like to tell a... the names of these sons-in-law, let's give them a little plug, eh?
Well, son-in-law, there's Raymond Lefebvre, there's Ray Blake, there's Gilles Risbeck, and there is Leopold Legault.
Now, Ray Blake, I think you think is related to another Blake in this part of the world, is that correct?
Second cousin to Toe Blake, the hockey player.
Right. So, maybe if you really want a ticket to the Canadians game, you might or might not get it, eh?
I remember Toe. Toe would remember me, too. I went to school with him.
Did you?
Definitely. I forgot to mention that I had been 1 year at school in Connison when the separate school opened up in 1924. I went there for a whole year, and Toe Blake was in my class.
Very good. Well, there's another reason. Now... So, one thing we haven't touched on yet, but we're going to get around to now, is first aid. Yeah, this became a great interest to you,
Mr. Tessier. Oh, my God. First aid was made fascinating to me by a man by the name of Mr. Warwick. He was the timekeeper in Connison. He got me interested in this type of work because, well, I had a bit of education, and it was easy for me to learn first aid. And from that moment, I was part of my life.
It you has found been something part of that really
fascinating. That work is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice, you know, to hear somebody give you a call at times and say, "Mr. Tessier, thank you for your lectures. I've just saved a life." Now well, I have five people that I can I could name.
Yeah.
Who took the trouble to call me at home.
That must be a great feeling.
It makes you feel as if you had done the work yourself. You know, it makes you feel as if you had taken part in saving mm-hmm. that life.
Marvelous, marvelous. And you just got into that. You'd started as a laborer, but you got into St. John's Ambulance. Was that
I got in with St. John Ambulance. We had a brigade in Coniston. Then I joined the brigade in Sudbury. I was for quite a year with the brigade in Sudbury. Then Inco gave me a job in the first aid department, which I enjoyed from the moment I started to work with them until the last hour I worked.
Well, great. That's great to hear somebody who's happy to be alive and happy with what they're doing. Now, you're still active, are you not? Are you
yes, I'm still, I am the chief training officer for classes. I organize classes. And I'm still teaching. I have a class at Cambrian College at this moment, and one in one of the schools in Sudbury.
Well, now, Mr. Tessier, as we've been chatting here, the two things have sort of impressed themselves on me is one, this first aid, which you liked so much, and which you have done so much with, and which has meant so much to you. The other thing is languages. Now, you were commenting that you thought about 800 words were necessary to
you need approximately 800 words to be able to hold a conversation. I can speak a little Italian. I can hold pretty good conversation in Italian. I can speak a few words in Ukrainian and in Finn.
Uh-huh. Finnish, eh?
Finnish, yeah. And, but you see, it would be so easy for me to. It's so easy for me to learn a language. Words, I seem to have an affinity for languages because of the musical club. I was in the band at the college. I was playing music. I was playing with the band at the college, and then I joined the band in Coniston. I was also playing at the agricultural college, and I was in, my God, in choirs many times. Yeah. So for me, a word spoken in another language seems to be music, and this is how I can remember them.
Interesting.
It's an affinity, it seems, that I have for...
You have an affinity, no question about it, sir. Now, now we've discussed your first aid, the work that you've been found, you've been able to be useful to people. We've talked about this affinity for languages. You have another thing that I found interesting is that you're not keen on travel. You like this part of the world, and this, as far as you're concerned, this is it. Now, is that a fair statement, sir?
I just took one trip in my life. Oh, I enjoyed it because of the scenery, but as far as traveling itself, I don't enjoy traveling. All those nice scenes from British Columbia or other parts, you can see them on television.
Yeah,
but it's nothing to compare to what you're going to see in real nature. I like to go out and, you know, for a little trip and see another part of my country, another little area of around the district of Sudbury. It makes things so interesting. Each step that you make makes it a different scene altogether. It's beautiful. It's simply beautiful. We have a beautiful country. And
that we have, Mr. Tessier. And I just love your philosophy of life. I mean, you still, like the little boy, you can get out and sit in the woods and watch the animals, as far as you're concerned, eh?
Yes, definitely. The last enjoyable trip that I took was north of Lake Wanapate. It was so beautiful. It's so calm. All you hear at night is the animals at night, and during the day, well, you open your eyes and look at the trees and look at the animals and just watch. It's so beautiful. It's so so rewarding.
Friends, I think you'll agree that this has been a great chat, and we've had a very fine gentleman and a fine guest here, Mr. Germain Tessier, who you've heard his philosophy of life, which is largely of service to other people, I believe. He likes nature. I can't quarrel or fault with anything that you've said, sir, if I may say so. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I say again that our guest has been Germain Tessier, who retired in 1974, who put in, he broke service with INCO, but he wound up with 27 years of service. At the time of your retirement with the company, you were working in the first aid, as a first aid attendant. Thank you, Mr. Tessier, for being a guest on Memories and Music.
Has been.